What's up, guys? Hey, welcome back to the Leadership Unveiled podcast. I'm Kayla, I'm your host, and today we got an exciting topic for you. I've got my notes over here if you're watching me on YouTube. I've got my laptop just off screen here. And if you're watching this cut, I'll try to have different angles in the episode. I'm looking right at you when I'm looking at my laptop. So welcome. If you're joining me on the podcast apps or YouTube, we have it everywhere so you don't miss out. Today we're going to be talking about my word for 2024, which, spoiler alert, I think I put it in the title, is approach. So I'm going to be sharing how I came upon this word and how this year I'm like leaning into the word. I'm like, you know, I think I need a word. And sorry if you hear in the background. Well, sorry, not sorry. My dog Raleigh is over there. She just didn't want to leave me. She was like, can I stay here? Come here, make a guest appearance. Come here, Raleigh. Come over here. Come here, babe. Come here, come show your face. You want to come sit with me on the couch? I don't mind. Oh my God, here she comes. Oh my God, okay, so if you're not watching on YouTube, this is like, you have to watch. She's like, okay, mom, there's really not that much space. Okay, come sit. Mwah, I love you. Okay, so I have my dog with me today. So, it's been a couple years since I chose a word for the year. But every time I pick a word, I feel like it really fuels me. Like I'm like, it's like a mantra, right? Like if I'm ever struggling or get off course or anything, I'm like, oh yeah, my word. Because the word ends up being your intention for the year. Hi. Can I have kisses? She's like, no. Oh, sorry. The headphones are hard. I love you. Okay, she's like gonna be super distracting because she's so cute. So yeah, I feel like it's like a mantra. It's like a personal intention for the year. So back in 2018, I think it might be the first time I chose a word, I was looking and combing back through records. I couldn't find. I thought maybe I said a lot more words than I did, but in 2018, my word was vibrant, and that's when my daughter was due to be born, 2018. I just felt like really, you know, beautiful, and like this new thing was happening in my life, and I was like, oh my gosh, I love this feeling. I just want to feel vibrant and colorful, like live in color. And it's also sort of when I like started blogging a bit more. And so yeah, I think that word was amazing. I do remember living out that word. I remember thinking about it all the time, and I had the best year. I met so many amazing friends that I never had before online through Beachbody at the time. I was starting a new job, like in all areas. Do you think the flowers are cute, Raleigh? She's like, I am the flowers. Okay. So yeah, and then I swear I said other words, but maybe not. The only other one I could find was in 2021 where the phrase was slow is bold. Slow is bold. So this is after 2020, obviously. And we're leaning into 2021, and I decided I wasn't going to set New Year's resolutions. And I created this video on YouTube all about that. And really, I had been taking a course on personal development and really figuring out like, what is it that I want? What is it that I need? How do I express that? And at the time, slow is bold to me meant that it's okay to tiptoe into the new year. Like you don't have to go like full steam ahead. You really don't. You can just slowly acclimate to whatever is your new reality. So for me, it was like not busting through 2021 into burnout. It was more just like, okay, I'm just going to be and exist. And that is good enough. So, but yeah, but I've been seeing people say that they're choosing words for the year. And I'm like, I really feel pulled to create a word this year. And so I just started like being open to like receiving a word That's kind of how I am. I'm like, I have a hard time being like, okay, my word is this, and this is how I want to live. I'm like, well, let me like source it from the universe. I'm like, okay, show up for me, please. Like, what is it that I need to hear? And so just become like more open and start to, you know, be listening for themes. So this is how I came upon my word. So the first thing was I... Oh, and the other thing I wanted to say is that concept of being open to ideas, like the fact that ideas have energy and that they kind of like float around and they select people who are open to receiving those ideas. It's something that I learned from Liz Gilbert's book, Big Magic. And she talks about how ideas are living things. And so, yeah, that is kind of why I feel this way, because I feel like if a word's supposed to come to me, it will. So, anyways, there's two different times I've heard the word approach for me, which is my word for this year. And then another situation I had where I started exploring why my business is where it's at that made me pick approach. So let me share with you. The first one was, I listened to the Mel Robbins podcast. If you don't listen, like, what are you doing? You have to go check out Mel Robbins. Raleigh is getting more comfortable. Oh, she's going to sit behind me. Okay, so my dog is now behind me. She's like a pillow. Can you? Hi. Okay, she's just like, I'm comfortable. I'm like, okay, that's fine. So Mel Robbins, so she was, I was taking a nap on New Year's Eve because I'm pregnant and tired, right? So she had a guest on there talking about the fear of being social. So as a kid, she had this like social anxiety and she lived with her grandma. Her grandma was raising her. And so her grandma took her out to the mall and they would get food. And then they would go just like, she'd be like, wow, I see this man over there. Or I see this person over there sitting by themselves. We should go talk to them. And the girl would be like, oh my gosh, no, like that's my worst nightmare. And her grandma's like, we're just going to go approach them. We're just going to go talk and say hello and have our lunch. Right. And so at the time, her grandma was just having her practice, like, doing the thing that was scary over and over and over, just approaching those behaviors over and over and over until they just become like no big deal. And this person that was on Mel's podcast, you know, she's highly accoladed, has gone to school and has, I'm sure, her PhD and everything on this, but she studies this cognitive behavioral therapy and essentially CBT. That's what it stands for. Basically approaching over and over and doing the thing that's uncomfortable is a form of cognitive behavioral therapy, which her grandma was doing with her many, many, many years ago before that was a thing. So it was interesting. This whole conversation that Mel had with her was in regards to avoidance versus approach. So I avoid social situations. I'm withdrawing. Okay, but now I'm going to like try to fix that by just approaching the thing that's scary, doing that behavior, which is instead of avoid, it's approach. So I had really never thought of like procrastination or not starting or like putting the thing off as avoidance, even though it's obviously what it is. You just kind of frame it as like procrastination or overwhelm, or you get kind of like frozen, right? But when you think of it as I'm avoiding the thing, then you can start to think of, well, what is the opposite? The opposite is approach. And I really liked that. I just haven't heard anyone use the word approach. It's always like, people always say, and I've said it on the podcast too, it's like action breeds confidence. That's what they're saying. They're saying like doing the thing or approaching the thing, doing the behavior, makes you feel like, okay, I got this, right? Because I've done a thing, I get some confidence, it boosts my knowledge that I can do this. And so that's what approach means. So that's the first time I heard it. And I was like, gosh, I really like that word approach. So that stuck in my head. Then it was literally like the next couple days later, I was at home. One of my goals for this year is to meditate more using the Calm app. I just love the Calm app. I would meditate almost daily with it and I can do it super easily. I mean, there's so many different ways to meditate. How I do it is either when I'm laying down to go to bed, I put on the 10-minute meditation and I try not to fall asleep. Most of the times I don't until after because I'm like really trying to pay attention to the message. Sometimes I do, whatever. There's no wrong way, right? And then other times it's like first thing in the morning, instead of looking and scrolling on social media or checking email, I put the meditation on and they're just 10 minutes. They're so quick. So I love, there's three different people on the app that do daily meditations, and Jay Shetty is one, and his is actually called the Daily Jay, and they kind of categorize his meditation as like daily wisdom. Right. So he has this episode that I favorited, and I will link both the Mel Robbins episode and the Jay Shetty episode or meditation in the show notes, whether you're listening on the app or in the description for YouTube. And Jay Shetty's episode was all about running to, not from, your fears. And he went into this whole lesson on the difference between avoidance versus approach goals. I was like, these are categorized as goals? Okay, now I'm hearing the word approach again, which I don't ever think I've heard of when it comes to goal setting. And I know this has to be my word. So he talked about how avoidance goals and approach goals, there's science behind how your brain processes and decides and motivates itself to meet that goal. So an approach goal is more like, okay, I want to win the gold medal in this Olympic race. So he gave an example of a person who wanted to win this gold medal, right? And so your motivation is like, I want to meet that goal. I'm approaching meeting that goal. And the opposite is would be an avoidance goal, which is I do not want to lose this race, right? You see the difference? Like I want to achieve the thing. I want to approach the thing versus I do not want to lose. Like I do not want to be not first, right? I have to win. And there is science that says approach goals, people who have approach goals are much more likely to meet those goals because you're more motivated. And it kind of makes sense, right? They're more framed in a positive way. They're like things that are exciting. Like we can't wait to do the thing to get there, to reach that goal. Avoidance goals are more anxiety provoking. Like I don't want to lose. I don't want to fail. I don't want to not show up this year. I don't want to not make as much money as I've hoped to make, right? It's so much more of a negative connotation. So twice now I've heard the words avoidance versus approach, and I'm like, okay, I love this word. Now, the third thing I wanted to share you is what I talked about before, which was my business. So Leadership Unveiled is part of KFA Consulting, my online business. So it's really a side hustle. I'm a full-time program manager at a healthcare system. However, I love teaching on leadership. And just my goal is really to help professionals get organized, stay organized, and really like feel confident in their actions. And yeah, there's so much mindset involved in it, but there's so many like tactical strategies. There's different ways to quote unquote approach leadership. And so I'm just like obsessed with this goal. But anyways, my side hustle or my business, KFA Consulting LLC, I like to do data analysis of it and I like to reflect on how it's going. And just with 2023, I felt like I started a dashboard and I looked and I only recorded data for like the first 3 months and I didn't really do much after that. So while my daughter was home on winter break, which was before the Mel Robbins podcast and before I heard Jay Shetty, I started crunching numbers, right? So if you know me, my training, I'm a lab scientist. So I love data. And I do love Excel spreadsheets, even though I wouldn't say like, you know, you might assume that about me, but I do, right? So I sat down and I was like, okay, how many YouTube watch hours did I have? How many views did I have? How many sales did I make? How much money did I make this year? I'm like, okay, I got to prepare for taxes, be like a responsible adult, right? So I started doing that. And here's what I learned. Okay, so I made about $100 more in sales than in 2022. And full disclosure, I don't really have a profit going on this business yet. It's very, 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 very small. I spend and invest way more to enjoy and have fun and take classes and learn. But if you wanted to say like revenue, not what I made after like all my expenses, it was like 800 and something bucks, almost 900 bucks. Like it's not that much. I spent way more than that. Okay. So, but just so you know, so like, that's what that is. Okay. I had about the same watch hours and views on YouTube that I did in 2022 in 2023. And I actually had less website views. So I sold more actually, and I sold less products. So something I did last year was just like slightly raise the prices of one of my digital notebooks by like $5. So I sold less things, but I made slightly more money, almost even, right? Like 100 bucks, give or take, you know? And I had the same watch hours and the same views. And I'm sitting here thinking like, I am just waiting for my business, my side hustle to pop off. Like I really want it to blow up. Like if I had to think about what I would want as ultimate goal for myself is maybe someday, you know, work for myself and do more speaking engagements and have more time for one-on-one coaching and like, and all that, right? Like, but that is like aspirational and far into the future. Like that's not my immediate goal. I love what I'm doing at my work. I still have a lot to learn. I make good money there. I have children I want to send to college. Like that works for me right now. Okay. So this is just a side hustle, but still, in my mind, I'm like, I'm just waiting for it to pop off, right? Because I love it. It's so much fun. And I'm like, why am I not further along? Like, I thought I'd have more views. I thought I would make twice as many sales. You know, like, I can't seem to get my YouTube channel to 4,000 watch hours, which is what you actually need. You need 4,000 watch hours within 365 days to monetize your channel. And then once you do that, you can, like, make money from ads and stuff like that, which is not like the bulk of money for YouTube creators, but it's just some extra cash, right? So I was like, oh, cool. That'd be a cool next goal, right? Because one of my goals was hit 1,000 subscribers. I did that like earlier in the year. So that was done, but I can't seem to get to the 4,000 watch hours. I'm like, why is that, right? I'm like, gosh. So then I started digging into when I actually posted videos and actively sharing tips, right? Like, I'm like, okay, so when did you put out content? And I was like, oh, Kayla, you didn't put out any videos for like the first 4 or 5 months of the year. So I looked, I think my first video was like my office redesign. I bought this chair and I assembled it and I just kind of did like a really low quality video on my phone of it. And yeah, I think that was like April 30th. I'm not sure. But so almost like 5 months, 4 or 5 months of no videos. And then what happened was like, I felt really bad for not posting. So I was like, gosh, I got to like figure it out. And then in like May and June, I believe, or June and July, I posted like 10 or 11 videos. And honestly, some of them were just not great quality in terms of like sound, setup, graininess. I was trying like a new lapel thing. I was trying to like make this a more mobile setup. And I wasn't like super proud of the content. And I even had my like hubby watch a few of the videos. He's like, "Kay, like, why did you put that out? Like, you just spend more time on one video and just make it badass." I'm like, "I know, but I got anxious. I wanted to put a video out." Right? So I like did all of I kind of like burnt out hustling to put those like 10 or 11 videos out that I wasn't super proud of. And then I was like, oh, okay, like this is too much. Then I had this dream for the year to launch a course, my organized AF University course. And I had been taking a course on how to launch a course by Louise Henry, who I love. And it's all on how to do launches for courses and how to build your course. So I was like, I'm going to just do this. I just want to try launching. And actually that was really fun. It was in July and I had, I believe it was July. I had a 4-day organized AF bootcamp. Awesome lives every day. I had amazing people join. I had a very active Facebook group. I even made a sale and had people in there winning prizes and stuff. It was the best. I was like, okay, I absolutely love this. Then I decided, let's get pregnant. So we did the things to get like our third embryo transferred, and I was so exhausted. I was like, oh, I'm so tired. And then, of course, like I said, this is my side hustle. So I was doing my work at my healthcare job, which is a priority for me, right? Like, so I'm doing that. I actually have led a year-long leadership development university at work for over 55 supervisors. In July, we had a huge big group meeting, quarterly big group where we bring everyone together. I create all the content for it. It's like literally my favorite thing ever. But it's energy draining, right? So that kicked my booty, and I wasn't even able to fully like finish my course. I ended up working it out with that chick who bought the course, and we're all good. And one of my goals this year is to finish it and get it evergreen and just out in the world. So more on that. But yeah, I was just like, man, that didn't go how I wanted it to. Then in November, I got myself some better filming equipment over like Black Friday and Amazon Prime days. And I started an organizational system in Notion, which is just like an app you can use to script out your videos and stuff. And I made 4 or 5 YouTube videos that I think are great. Like, I'm learning, I'm adding sound effects. I produced this podcast episode with better visuals. I have an awesome Sony camera now. I have this better mic. And I was like, okay, this is the type of work that I want to put out. But I really need to think about what my capacity is for this type of quality work. Like, it takes an entire week to script, film, edit, add sound effects, all of that, upload, schedule a video like this. It's a lot of work. And I'm not ready to outsource that work yet. So I think I just had to reflect and be like, well, Kayla, you essentially made more/the same amount of money with less views and less sales, and you didn't even work for like half the year. So I tried to flip the script on that. I was like, let's give myself a ton of grace. What if you actually approach 2024 differently? And instead of thinking about, you know, I need to be consistent, I need to not miss a deadline, which actually is an avoidance goal, right? Like, the avoidance goal would be like, don't miss a deadline, like don't not put a video out, which is kind of how I've been operating, like from like this place of fear, like, oh my God, I missed a deadline, like, oh my God, I didn't put a video out, to, okay, my goal is to produce high quality content and increase my community, grow my community, and engage my community, love my community, nurture the people that are here. Well, that feels better, right? Because then I'm like, okay, I'm going to put some content out. Cool. And I'm not like tied down to this avoidance goal of like, don't miss putting a video up. Like, don't miss an upload, right? Because then it feels icky. Like, I'm not actually motivated by that, because the idea of missing an upload makes me feel really bad. So yeah, and I just want you to consider, how can you reflect on 2023 and see, like, how did it actually happen for me? So after I, like, heard these approach words and had done my data analysis and was like, you didn't even, like, put out videos, but Kayla, you felt like you were thinking constantly about KFA Consulting, and that's because I'm obsessed. I love it. It's, like, so much fun, right? And I was like, oh yeah, my husband's dad passed away in February while we were on vacation. That sucked. That sucked a lot. Before that, we were struggling with him getting sicker. It sucked, right? So January and February is like a wash. It was like, we're really busy trying to spend time with him and like figure out what that's going to be. Then planning our vacation, not thinking he's going to pass, then he passed away. And his memorial was over Memorial Day because he wanted a Veterans Affairs service, which was so cool. Like, that whole thing was amazing. But you can imagine, from mid-February to March to April to May, that's all our family was thinking about. Like, I was there supporting my husband figure out like his finances and like giving him time to like work out moving over leases, you know, his vehicle switched over and all of the accounts that needed a closing, and just like every day there'd be a piece of mail for him to deal with. Like, just, it's a lot, right? So, and then I was doing the Leadership Development University at work, wanting to prioritize that, right? Like, that is my job. Then I decided, we decided together, we wanted to do get pregnant. So I did all this prep in July to like make sure my body was good. I had actually like an outpatient surgical procedure just to like check everything was good in July, which meant I have flown to New York with my mom, flown back, and then a month later, and then we went on vacation to DC for my birthday, my daughter's birthday, at the beginning of August. Then a week later, I flew to New York and my husband and I flew there and I had the embryo transferred. I was newly pregnant and super tired in September. And then I had leaned back in October and November, bought that new equipment and pumped out these videos. And now I'm here. I'm like almost 25 weeks pregnant and like making this cool video for you and reflecting on the year. So again, my business sustained and even grew a little bit without me actually approaching and being more in avoidance, like fear of not putting a video out. So I'm going to be using the approach goal, where it's a mental model or a visual of just step up to the plate, Kay. Like, it's not, when I was in school, like in middle school, I was in softball. And I was really good. I got MVP a couple years. I got good sportsman, which I'm like more proud of because I'd be like, go everybody, you know, it's fun. But yeah, I loved it. And yeah, do you get nervous when you're about to step up to the plate to bat? Yeah, you do. Do you know how to do it though? Yeah. There's rules, like you put your foot here and your other foot here. You know, have your hands a certain way. You have your elbow a certain way, you know, like all the different things you can do to like hit. You can watch the pitcher. You can learn how to anticipate the ball. You know what's going to happen. You know what's going to come to you. You know how to swing. Sometimes you miss. Is it embarrassing? Yeah, for a second. And then you hit it and you don't think and you run. You just run and you run the base. And that's it. Like, just step up, okay? You know? So I'm just going to be at the table. That's my goal, is to approach, to stick around, to be there. So I want to encourage you. How are you feeling as you're heading into this year? And can you be open, like Liz Gilbert says, to an idea that comes to you, a theme, something that you keep hearing over and over and over? And it's funny, you know, that like scientific theory or whatever, that once you are aware of something, you tend to see it and hear it over and over, right? So if I mention blue punch bugs, you're probably going to be like, oh yeah, I saw a punch bug beetle car, whatever, like 8 times this week, a blue one, right? Same thing with the word. As soon as I decided that approach was my word, I hear it, I see it. Ooh, Raleigh's moving. I forgot the dog is still behind me. Hey, baby. So think about, what might your word be for the year? And how can you use it to reframe the way that you set goals in an approach versus an avoidance way? And set the tone in a mantra that you can repeat over and over this year when you're struggling or you're like thinking you're not doing enough. You're like, no, just approach. What would that word be for you? All right, everyone, thank you so much for being here for the Leadership Unveiled podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget to subscribe, like the video, share it with your friends. So I'm on Instagram at KFA Consulting, and I would love to hear what you thought about today's program. So feel free to send me a DM, message me, let me know any thoughts. You can comment on the YouTube video if you like, all the things. So I will see you in the next episode. Take care. Bye.